It's here and now. Here's what's happening. The George Zimmerman murder trial continues. Yesterday, a police detective testified that he found Zimmerman's explanation for why he was drawn into a fight with Trayvon Martin credible. Today, the judge told the jury to disregard that testimony. As millions of protesters for and against the Morsi government in Egypt take to the streets, Canada has announced it's closing its embassy in Cairo. In San Francisco, traffic heading into the city on the Bay Bridge was jammed during the morning rush hour on day two of the BART strike, Bay Area Rapid Transit train operators and workers staying home after failed negotiations. And a report today from federal airport screeners finds 894 guns either on passengers trying to board planes or in their carry-on bags in the first 6 months of this year. That's a 30% increase over the same period last year. In May, a record was set for the most guns seized in a week, 65. 45 were loaded. 15 had bullets in the chamber, but the carriers probably remembered to remove their shoes.
Well, Robin, we asked people yesterday to write us, to tell us what they thought, what they liked, what they didn't like about the show.
And we learned, be careful what you ask for. Because we know we heard from so many people. Thank you so much. We really appreciate hearing from listeners, especially new listeners with our new launch. So thank you very much. However.
Absolutely. And well, one listener did write in named John Bell in St. Louis, Missouri. He wrote the following. I have heard the expression that the Midwest is flyover country. You mentioned the names of several different cities that are now receiving your program, but nothing was said about St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John, first of all, I should say that I am from flyover country, so I would never call it that.
That's right. Where are you from?
I am from Champaign-Urbana in the middle of Illinois.
It's fly-to country.
It is fly-to country and usually with a stopover somewhere.
Right. Not a lot of connections.
Exactly.
But not only that, John Bell in St. Louis, Missouri. Jeremy was just there, drawn by a ravioli.
I was just in St. Louis. You know, Robin, New York is famous for its bagels and hot dogs. Chicago is well known for its deep dish pizza, all of which are delicious. But St. Louis, it turns out, is famous for its toasted ravioli. So I stopped by the kitchen of Villa Ferrato in Chesterfield, Missouri, just west of St. Louis, and met up with Aaron Bruschi, who is the sous chef there.
A lot of times when you think of St. Louis, you think of the Arch, you think of the Cardinals, and then you think of toasted ravioli. I mean, it's a staple for the St. Louis area.
How did that happen?
There's a lot of different myths about toasted ravioli and how they came about, but they were invented here. And I mean, I think people just, they like meat, they like aged cheese, and we have marinara sauce that goes with them a lot of times, and I think people just like that.
Okay, so explain exactly what it is, because, I mean, if people that are hearing this that have never had a toasted ravioli before might think that you just take a ravioli and put it in the toaster. That is not what happens in this case.
Oh, no, definitely not. They are ravioli in essence. We take ground sirloin and aged Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese, kind of mix it together with a few herbs and spices, and we take pasta that's fresh. It's semolina pasta. Take the flat sheets and fill them with the meat filling. That's the basic of the ravioli. And then they're lightly breaded and then thrown into a fryer. They're deep fried.
Can it be any meat on the inside, or what's typical?
You mostly see ground sirloin. Sometimes you see cheese raviolis, but that's not really the traditional St. Louis way. The traditional St. Louis way is the ground beef.
Now, what we're looking at right here is a plate with a circle of these toasted raviolis with some Parmesan cheese on them and a marinara sauce in the middle.
Correct. After they're fried, they're taken out of the fryer, and we lightly hit them with a little garlic butter to enhance their flavor, and then a little bit more of that aged Parmigiano-Reggiano right on top, which we then melt down just a little bit and serve to piping hot.
So this is what you would do with raviolis. You just throw them right in the fryer?
Correct. They go right in the fryer at 350 degrees, and then they fry for about 5 minutes.
Is it different than doing potatoes or something else? I mean, do you have to watch them in a different way?
They do have a light breading on the outside, so I mean, they're going to brown up a little bit quicker. So they do have to be watched. You don't want to have them explode either. The inside becomes like so hot that it actually expands the pillow of the ravioli, and then sometimes can the meat and cheese can push out.
They're a lot more delicate than a French fry.
Correct. I mean, French fries you can just kind of toss in and wait and pull them up and slam them around. You don't want to knock all the breading off the toasted ravioli, so you need to take care with them.
And then are you just shredding cheese while you're doing that?
Shredding cheese. Yeah, actually, a lot of times we have it pre-grated, so it's already ready.
Do you ever make toasted ravioli at home when you don't have all this equipment in front of you?
Honestly, I don't. I don't like the big mess because, I mean, you got to make fresh pasta, do the whole thing.
It's really a treat that you have to go out for.
Exactly. You definitely need to let someone else do all that work. Don't make the big mess at home. And you got to go out. I mean, with the deep fryer and everything, I mean, I know some people have countertop ones nowadays, but it's a big mess.
All right, I'm going to try it while it's still piping hot here. I want to try one of these guys. All right. The toasted part of the toasted ravioli makes it, I feel like.
That's definitely, I mean, that's the big thing about them is that it's not just your regular ravioli, which is a little bit boiled or, you know, slimy almost. It's nice and crunchy. It has a good bite to it.
And it's not just like a mozzarella stick or something like that. It's very different.
Oh, no, absolutely not. A mozzarella stick is, I mean, you know, it's stringy, it's gooey. This is, you know, got a nice good bite to it, like I said, and then filled with all that meat and cheese, and it's definitely delicious.
Do you find yourself having to explain to out-of-towners what exactly toasted ravioli is?
Once in a while, there's people that have never seen it, but I think nowadays it's becoming a little bit more popular. It's reaching out to the East and West Coast, and people kind of have an idea of what those are.
What would you say is so great about them? I mean, why have they remained a staple in St. Louis for all these years? And it looks like, from the history, it's been many decades.
I think that they're, you know, there's something that kids love, especially, and that's one big thing that I noticed, that, like, kids won't eat a lot of things, but they'll eat toaster raviolis for whatever reason. Maybe it's all the cheese and the meat, and, you know, you're getting a little pasta, so you're getting a little bit of nutrition in there, too, and parents love them for that reason, because kids will eat them. And they're also just, like, a good grab-and-go type thing, and they stay good for a long time. I mean, you can make these, and they'll hold up sitting around for a party or something like that. People use them all the time. I mean, it's one of our biggest catering items as well.
Yeah, because they're a little more downscale than what you might get in an Italian restaurant. You could put these out at a baseball game and they would fit in just as much as they would on a red and white tablecloth.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're a very versatile food. So, I mean, yeah, you could see them at a park or a fair or at the baseball game especially. I mean, they could be served in a little paper boat even. One thing that makes them, though, is the sauce also. You can't forget about the sauce.
Well, why don't you try one and sort of just describe, if you can, what you're tasting as you're tasting it, because you'll be able to taste all the flavors that I probably wouldn't even be able to figure out.
The first thing I get is the crunch, is the bite. After that, I mean, I'm overwhelmed with notes of garlic and spice, and that's really the St. Louis tradition, to have that strong, pungent, aromatic flavor. It's something very indicative of Italian food as well.
Now, they're probably not that healthy, I would imagine.
They are fried food, so they're probably not the best for everyone, but they are delicious, and they're definitely an indulgence. So, I mean, I don't recommend them maybe eating them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but definitely try them once in a while if you're going to indulge.
Now, there are going to be many listeners who are just getting used to the term toasted ravioli, but I should say that here in St. Louis, a lot of people just call them T-Ravs.
That's correct. I've actually heard people refer to the T-Rav, and other people don't know what it is. I mean, you're like, I need an order of these T-Ravs or this, that. People are like, what? You know, what is a T-Rav? I don't get it. But yeah, definitely T-Rav is a short nomenclature for the toasted ravioli.
Well, Aaron Bruschi, sous chef here at Villa Ferrato in Chesterfield, Missouri, thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure.
So there you go. Listener John Bell, who wanted to hear St. Louis. We can't promise a story for every request, but give it a try. Let us hear from you at hereandnow.org.
This is Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Chipotle Mexican Grill, committed to the respect of animals, farmers, and the environment. Local sourcing and menu information at chipotle.com.